Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Yo, yo, yo. Hey, Ears Edition listeners. This is your boy, Ashton Womack, writer and digital correspondent for The Daily Show. As you know, every week we want to give you guys an Ears Edition Extra. And aren't you guys so lucky, because we have the podcast god himself, BX Legend. Y'all know him. One of my favorite guest hosts to have on the show. Thank you for coming. Round of applause for the very wonderful, illustrious Desus Nice, everybody. Desus Nice in the building.
Give it up for me. Desus Nice. BX in the building. Also, give it up for The Daily Show for letting me host. You guys are the Bronx guy in the building. I had the time of my life. Shout out to Ashton, the real homie. This is like not my first time meeting him on the podcast, because I'm a real person. I try to meet everyone on set, and we chopped it up in the, what was it? Is that like the lounge, the kitchen?
It's like a hallway lounge area.
Now we're reunited on the podcast. Let's get it, bro.
Bro, this is like, I have to say, before I even get started, this is definitely a dream come true. I'm nerding out, obviously, from Complex to Vice to Showtime. Yep. I followed you. I'm telling you, from Complex, where you sitting on crates, my guy.
Sitting on crates, looking ashy and broke.
Ashy. Hey, y'all had them Heinies, the Heinekens. Y'all, it was fire. It was fire.
And the little quarter waters, and then the one episode with the Hennessy. Listen, we got it out the mud.
I moved to New York. You were like one of the main reasons why.
You told me this story.
I was like, bro, y'all painted New York way too fire for me. I'm like, I'm going to LA? No. New York sounds so much more fun. So thank you. Thank you. I would not have this job podcasted. Genuinely, I can cite you as a source. I'm not even trying to gas it. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
You told me that. You told me that when we met in person, and I appreciate that wholeheartedly. And I also kind of relate to that, because I just moved to LA, you know, like temporarily. And like coming back, the appreciation I have for New York now, like I look at New York, I guess, in the vision that we described it on the podcast. Like it's like little things, like last night at 3 a.m, I ran to the bodega to go get hot wings and beer. You can't do that in LA, though.
Everything closed at 2.
Everything closed at 2.
That's wild. That's wild.
It's wild. So those little things, just you appreciate them so much, man. So I kind of see it the same way as you.
All right, that brings me. Let me get into my first question of the day. We were on strike for 5 months.
Yes.
How did that affect you? You were supposed to host before the strike.
I was. And the thing was, when it was announced I was supposed to host, like, everyone was so excited. Everyone was, like, congratulating me. Everyone was like, Desus, you're going to host a Daily Show. That's so great. Boom. Strike happens. Nothing. Nothing. And I was like, yo, I didn't even know if it was going to come back. And then because of the strike, you know, everyone, like, I got a little depressed. I love working. I love being on TV. So I hadn't been on TV. Last time I was on TV before the strike was when I was on Jimmy Kimmel. And that was, like, almost a year and a half ago. So, you know, you build up all this excitement. I was like, Daily Show. And it's like, blah, nothing.
And it's like, nothing. Ain't nobody working. Stay home.
Ain't nobody coming. But on the flip side of that, that made me appreciate hosting even more. Because after going through the strike and actually, you know, going and protesting and, you know, having the sack, you know, just really learning to appreciate what I do when we make TV. Not just what I do, what we do when we make TV. Like, when we all come together. Like, when we go in that writer's room, we're basically building an airplane while we're already in the air. You know what I'm saying? Like,
damn, that's hard.
People don't even realize, like, the amount of people it takes to make a TV show. And, like, everyone has, like, a role. And no one's role is smaller than another person's role. Like, yeah, I'm the talent. But if the writers don't do this, And if the camera people don't do this, and if the interns don't do this, we don't have a show at the end of the night. And so, like, coming in with that vision and realizing how fortunate I am to not only host The Daily Show, but to work in Hollywood and just be able to make people laugh. It's just like, yo, I feel like I'm the person that's winning on this end. Like, it's like not even about the fans. I'm like you saw me getting emotional on that mic, man.
And what was the happiest moment of this week?
Ooh, the happiest moment of this week. Probably right now. Like, yes. Probably right now. Like, it's been four shows. This has been our best show. We're killing it. Staff is killing it. You guys are here. I'm actually, like, I'm probably going to tear up at the end of this. So if you see that, don't call me a bitch on Twitter. All right.
Was that exactly what you were feeling in that moment? You were just like, it was all coming ahead. You're like, wow, I'm here.
Yes, because the last episode was so good. Like, we killed. And people were like, you killed it. I'm like, no, we killed it. Like, all the writers, like, the jokes hit. Everything was so good. And it's just like the culmination of the week. And then also realize, like, a sadness. Like, damn, I'm not going to see y'all no more. And, like, all of that just hit me at once. And just also just being appreciative and kind of just being like, damn, like, a lot of times now I'm just, like, reflecting on my life. And I've had so many jobs. I've done so many things. And just like, yo, for all the things I've done, you know, strip club manager, you know, allegedly some criminal stuff, working in the library, working in, as a small business reporter. And, like, I'm hosting The Daily Show. Hey, no, I hosted The Daily Show for a week.
Bro, who are you? Who are you? Right? Who is this,
bro,
man?
Bro, and now I'm walking around the streets of New York and, like, random people are, like, coming up to me. Like, they're like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so, like, I'm just, like, getting touched. Like, I have neighbors in my building who have never spoken to me before. And now they're like, oh, you do comedy? I'm like, dog, you don't know who I am.
Hey, man, now that I see you on TV, yeah. I'm not going to steal your packages no more.
Exactly.
All right. Now that I know, I ain't know it was you, dog.
Now they holding the elevator door open before they're hitting the button, making the doors close fast.
That's,
I was like, wow.
Fire. That's a man. That is awesome. That is like legit. Do people come up to you, like, in the street? You ever get like,
yo,
hey, I know you. You my old librarian. Dude, they don't.
You know what? That's the weirdest thing. Nobody that I've worked with in previous jobs. I mean, I'll, like, shout out to my old office job. Like, I still got the group chat going. Shout out to Darren and the homies out there. But, like, nobody that worked in any of the other stuff I've done ever contacts me. My number is the same. And what? It's actually funny. I went out one night. Shout out to Fatima and the homies. We went to a gay club after we was out drinking because they was like, yo, they're gay. They was like, they still got drinks. So I was like, shit, let's get it.
There's alcohol there.
Right. Let's go. So we go into the club. And as soon as I walk in, the manager's like, hello, Jesus. And all her friends were like,
you've been here
was
before.
They was like, you've been here before. And I go like this. Tell them where you know me from. And the manager goes, he was my baby bouncer back in 06.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's funny as hell. Your baby bouncer.
Because I was the smallest guy.
Oh, my God.
Bro, I've lived a life. It's wild.
That's so funny. I'm trying to imagine you as a, but you have lived a life. God damn, bro.
But then also you got to think about this. Now imagine I have like mad layers on. I have like a dicky jacket. But of all the bouncers you see this little small guy. You like, he must know MMA. I ain't going to mess with him. Like, so people were like, oh, he's here for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's like one of them people where it's like, I'm trained. I don't choose to use my hands.
Exactly.
And you're like, why don't you use your hands? Because I've killed before. You're like, oh, yeah. Don't play with that dude. Okay.
Brother, don't take me back to the dark side. I'm trying to live righteous now.
I'm choosing not to use violence.
Never again. These hands only praise the Lord now.
But honestly, to your point, like, just from being in the writer's room, we get guest hosts every week. We don't really know what to expect from the guest host. Bro, you came in, the energy was genuinely, I'm using your words, was immaculate. It was like, it was fun. It felt like in order to be a writer's room, the person steering the ship, the person piloting the plane we're building, they got to be in with us. And you are 100% in. And that's what makes it fun to come to work and write jokes and be able to do little goofy, just all the little goofy stuff we do every week. The guest host is very much like a pivotal part of it. And you genuinely, I'm like, I really hope you get another week because that was so much fun.
But no, thank you for saying that because like the whole experience did not feel like work. Mm-hmm. And coming into the writer's room, it felt like hanging with the homies. You know, like we're watching the videos, we're laughing. And one thing I love, shout out to the Daily Show writer's room and everyone in that room. It was so comfortable that people felt able to say whatever. Mm-hmm. And people would say the shittiest jokes. Jokes that fall flat. Like, no one in the room acted. Everyone got quiet. But that's a sign of a good writer's room.
That is it.
You're free to do that. Everything. And there's no repercussions. And
no, then, none. That's my favorite part.
You're comfortable. And that's the thing. When you're comfortable, that's when the good jokes come through. People, there's no like, I'm scared to like say my voice. Everyone in that room feel is like has the same level of confidence and comfort, and everyone feels equal and
equally.
And that right there made it so easy to just make the show. And that's why, like, it was, bro, like I said again, it was just like hanging with the homies.
I'm glad you said that, brought that up, because my first day in the writer's room, terrified. You're sitting behind Trevor Noah, and you're like, I'm not about to say a joke. Are you kidding me? You're like, you think you're going to say a joke, and then the Sandman from the Apollo go come in and wheel your ass up.
Yeah.
Yep. You're fired, bro. But I'm glad you said that. And that's my favorite part of the morning meetings, the writer's room. It's not just writers pitching jokes. It's producers. It's executives. It's everybody.
Yes, everybody.
If you got a funny thought, that's the pitch. If you could see the pitch list, everybody pitches at Daily Show. Not just me, not just our head writers. We got interns that pitch. That's what makes it so much fun here. It's a comedy place. We just here for the jokes. That's why you're one of the funnest guest hosts to have, for sure.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Nah, for sure. Now, I guess going on to my next question, you do have experience hosting your own show. Your previous roles weren't as like politically oriented. How was that for you coming from a more pop culture background into political comedy?
It actually wasn't that difficult, because in previous iterations of the show, we had interviewed politicians. We interviewed Obama, plug, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all had AOC.
AOC. And so, but the way those interviews worked were different than the way I work on The Daily Show. And as far as covering politics, we usually covered it more from a comedy aspect, more like, hey, here's this, not more like, hey,
what you think we doing?
No.
But no, we usually use comedy when we talk about politics. Yeah. What y'all doing is fine, but
no, like, you got fact checked. We was fact checking. We was like mispronouncing names. We didn't know. We was just like making up if they were Democrat or Republican.
Bro, you admitted facts don't matter. What are you talking about? They don't matter.
I regret that, because now facts actually don't matter. Like,
I know
they took that. See,
kind of your fault, bro.
Listen, Black Twitter creates, the world takes. So
damn, you've been dropping gems through this podcast. I'm gonna have to listen to it.
But no, like, that was part of the beauty of The Daily Show. It's like, it's kind of like sugar and medicine. It's like, hey, we're going to give you this dry, boring-ass information, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to laugh through it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things on the comments people were saying, like, you're really good at that. You're like, put a nice spin on it that it doesn't feel like news. It doesn't feel preachy. And people, even the stadium piece, the long story short piece, shout out to the writers, and shout out to my guy Diallo for just hooking that up.
Growing up, I lived across the street from Yankee Stadium. I could hear the crowd. I could smell the glizzies. White people, those are hot dogs. Then in 2009, they built a new Yankee Stadium right next to the old one, and it looked basically the same. It was like Drake's last two albums. You couldn't tell them apart. But there was one huge difference: the cost to the public. The city handed over 20 acres of public parkland and $1 billion of taxpayer money. So the house that Ruth built really became the house that you and I built. Well, mostly you. I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't pay taxes. But this happens all the time. Just last year, New York gave the Buffalo Bills $600 million to build a new stadium. $600 million. That's almost as much as NYPD spends to stop $50,000 worth of turnstile jumping. So how does this happen? Why are billionaire owners getting welfare to build stadiums? It's something I want to talk about in tonight's Long Story Short.
If that's not delivered the right way, that's a snooze fest. That's like a New York Times article. You don't want to read about that. But we were able to punch it up and do jokes and like actually make it interesting. And that's the beauty of The Daily Show. Like, you're gonna learn something. And me personally, I hate learning. I hate watching TV and learning anything. I only have but so much space in my brain. I can't be losing stuff. Like, you know, you learn something new, I might lose the lyrics for Mobb Deep's Eye for an Eye. I can't risk that. So, you know,
like, I'm sorry, I can't learn your name right now. I'm holding on to the theme song of the Jeffersons. I apologize.
I can't disrespect Big Noise. I can't. But, you know.
But no, you're right. You're right. That's what the whole infotainment is for, because we got to trick you in the spoonful of medicine, the spoonful of sugar, whatever. We do have to, like, quote unquote, trick you. My favorite part is you were given the information. Like, your skill set is like being like a guy on the porch talking like you're just a homie. And you were given that information like a hood dude on the porch. The juxtaposition is funny. It's wild. It speaks to me. So that's very enlightening and informing.
Thank you. The comments have been super positive online on social media. And I saw one comment and it was like, I don't know who this guy is, but I will continue to listen to him wherever he goes. And I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Shout out to the Daily Show audience. Y'all were so supportive, except for Chris9286. I see you every day on Instagram comments BS. Don't let me catch you in the streets.
Is that a real person?
No, I was messing around.
Okay. Well, you know what? I did. Here's an interesting fact. Every time I saw a negative comment, like on the IG, and it was like, you think Jesus is funny? I would be like, okay, let me research this hater. And I go on their Twitter page, and 99.9% of the time, that person has tweeted, like, maybe back in, like, 2016, like, y'all think Jesus is funny? And low-key, I respect a hater. Like,
you got to consistent.
If you keep it consistent, if you stand in your business, let's go.
That's a fire-ass hater. He's staying in your life.
We in it together, baby.
He like one of them reverse fans. He like, I've actually been hating Jesus since 06.
How you a monogamous hater? I love it.
This is a great segue into haters. Oh, my God.
Haters.
Because we have to talk about one of my favorite headlines this week. I felt like it was iconic. The fact that all the universe's timing is so beautiful. God's timing is real. I think we saw that this week. So I want to get into a headline we discussed. DJ Envy being accused of fraud.
I know some people expect me to come on here and do my thing where I just roast people that I have beef with, but this is a serious show. This is a serious chair, serious desk, and now I'm going to give you some important financial news. So important, I have to put on my spectacles. I report on the serious financial news.
Popular radio host DJ Envy now distancing himself from an alleged multi-million dollar fraud scheme.
Not DJ Envious. Was never on my radar. Go on.
What was that like covering him for the show, and how did you decide what angle you wanted to approach for that story?
You know, that's like, again, shout out to the universe for just putting that right there for us, putting on a T. But no, it was like, it was cool, but it also showed growth, because it's like, when that happened, it was so early in my career, I didn't know how the game worked. Actually, one of the most hurtful aspects of that was the fact that when I came in this industry, I was like, yo, these people you meet, these are your friends. And it's like, yo, no, that's not the case. These are just people you work with. These are like people you go on, you know, you go on their podcast and like they can switch it up on you and like they'll do it on camera. That was wild. You know, like, and it's like, I'm not a person trying to hold resentment for it. I've moved on past it. It's funny when it comes up on the little reunions and stuff. Yeah. But I got a little tired of talking about it because that's all people wanted to talk about at one point. Yeah. But then being able to talk about it on a Daily Show, we did it in a way where it's just like, we were kind of laughing at the situation and laughing at like, we're above that now.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're on the Daily Show, dog. Like,
oh, is that what's going on down there? I wouldn't know. I'm up here reading, joking about Trump and all that.
I'm like, sorry, I'm about to interview AOC. You have a little fraud problem over there, my guy? You know, like,
I know a few politicians. I can put in a good word.
Wow, DJ Envy is in trouble for real estate fraud. What a serious story. It's definitely not funny. There's certainly nothing personal that makes it funny to me. It's not like Rashawn accosted me on the radio for making a little joke about him and his wife, which I only thought we were friends. It's not like he called me dickhead and then got so mad he locked himself in the studio for the rest of the show and then told the building security I was a threat. But even if that happened, that's all in the past. I'm just reading the news, listen.
One of the better parts was being able to just like, it wasn't like childish, it wasn't juvenile, there was no name calling, there was it was just like, yo, here.
You literally just discussed the story. You literally just discussed the story. I mean, who's the dickhead now is pretty funny. Let's not act like that's not.
But it was fun. And then also, you know, just, it's like full circle. It's like now, you know, like, I'm on the Daily Show, baby. Like, I was just like, you know, let's just cover this in a way where it's not cringy.
Yeah.
And a way where it's just like, it actually does come off professional. Also, you know, yeah. I was killing it in that suit. I put on the glasses as well. You know, the ladies love the glasses. Sadly, the glasses got a little fogged up towards the end, but only real professionals in Hollywood would notice that. But you know, it was a fun time. And you know, like it was playful. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't like it was just like I don't know if he laughed. He'd have to laugh. But I mean, like,
yeah, it was very
playful. I don't know if he has a lot to laugh about right now.
Well, actually, you're talking about your suit. You went from a suit at the beginning, you know, Daily Show classic, but then you started loosening up, finding your own style. That brown, what was that, like a brown jacket? That was hard. Yeah, yeah. Did you have a stylist? Is that you, your stylist? What made you go stop doing the suits and find your own style for the show?
You know what? That was actually, all of that was the same stylist. That was, shout out to my guy, Dan P. Lee. I've been working with him now. That was his first time doing a multi-night gig on broadcast television. And me and him, we've been working together. We're like so in sync. Like we don't even like he gets an outfit and he knows that's exactly what I wanted to wear. And I mean, like, I like the suit. Like it's my first time on The Daily Show. I wanted to wear a suit. And then after that, loosen up. Mm-hmm. And it was actually something we worked on because I haven't been on TV for so long. He was like, I want to reintroduce the world to you, but a new you, like a higher level you. Because, you know, I'm still, at the end of the day, I'm a guy from the Bronx. I'm always going to be a guy from the Bronx. But that doesn't mean I have to, you know, be in like size 38 JNCO jeans.
Damn, that's insightful. I was wondering. I was like, I wonder what made him get out of the suit. Because the suit, like you said, it is the classic Daily Show suit. But I love it. I love it when the guest hosts find their own.
Part of me was like, oh, should we wear a suit every night? And I was like, no, I just want to stand out. You know, I want people to see the real me. Like, and also you have to be careful with a suit because if the suit's not done right, you're going to look like a Jehovah's Witness. And now you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you don't want to be up there looking like Steve Harvey in the, at the desk.
Listen, Steve Harvey, he's been putting on lately.
Lately he's been wearing that shit. Lately. I'm still stuck at 3 years ago when he was wilding with them big ass suits. But
listen, what do you have against a suit with 40 buttons? Come on, bro.
It's the zoot suitness of it. It's the fact that they stretch out in it.
The suit just goes below the knees. Like, come on.
That's crazy.
He's wearing his suit is a dress for a Seventh Day Adventist.
You got a suit kilt on. I ain't never seen no shit. I appreciate the change it up because it did give, you know, I have a personal, like, it's not my show, but you know, Daily Show's like, oh, this is my show. So seeing like a new energy and like a fresher look coming out on our clips on our show, it gives it that new vibrancy. So I'm showing other guest hosts, hey, remember, make this shit look fly. Don't come in no dusty ass.
Yeah. People were saying that online. They was like, yo, this, like, you're bringing like a younger energy to the show. You're bringing like a new energy. And I'm like, thank you. I was like, that's the whole thing. Like, The Daily Show is like an iconic brand. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yo, just bring your energy to it. And it's just like the two and two match.
That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
So, Desus, you used to be a part of a comedy duo, but now you've hosted Kimmel, you've hosted The Daily Show. How's that transition been for you, going from a duo to now just Desus Nice?
You learn a lot. You learn a lot, and it's different now because all the responsibilities is on me. Mm-hmm. So it's like if something goes wrong, that would be on me, but at the same time, all the benefits are on me. So when I show up, that's just me representing. So like it's even like going to The Daily Show, they're like be in the car at 9. I'm in the car at like 8:55. I'm there for every meeting. I'm fully prepared. I am just like, you can ask people, I'm a pleasure to work with. Mm-hmm. And I know at the end of the day, that's what people are getting. Desus is what Desus is.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that if, you know, Hollywood is such a small industry that everyone talks about everyone. So one thing that I've learned is if you're good in one set, word travels to the industry that people are like, yo, Desus is a pleasure to work with. Hire this guy. This guy is great. Because the people at Kimmel, they're calling me from the Daily Show thing, and I'm like, oh, I know this person at the Daily Show, and they said it was so fun to work with you, and I was telling them about this. And then also, another part that people forget, like a lot of people who work on the Daily Show used to work either on my old show or like a previous show. So it was like a reunion. Like the stage manager, the directors, like when I see these people, it wasn't even like dapping them up. It was like, yo, hug these people. These are people I miss.
That's fire.
And they're like, they know me. So it's like, when I see those people, I'm like, oh, this is easy to do. Like, Jesus, let's fucking get it.
Dude, that's fire. That's fire. You remember like seeing like, oh, it was like a reunion.
Yeah. No, I remember everyone I work with. There's never like even like PAs and interns, and like in LA, I'll run into people and they'll be like, do you remember me? And I'll be like, season three, blah, 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 blah. Like because that's the thing. Like, I never want someone that I met to feel like they weren't appreciated. Right. And I never want, like, one thing, especially at the Daily Show, like, no matter who I saw in the hallway, I was always talk to them, because like, I've worked on shows where people have been like, yo, nobody ever spoke to me. No guest host has ever spoken to me. And I'm like, yo, that's wild. Just because someone's an intern or a PA doesn't mean they don't exist. And it's just like, also, that intern that you're nasty to today might be running Paramount in the future. So you gotta like, don't burn bridges you don't have to burn.
You had a segment while you were at the Daily Show where you hit the streets of New York to ask what makes a real New Yorker, and you had Bronx guest AOC, Nana Kwame. How important was it for you to showcase New York City in your episode?
You know what? It was very important, because being a native New Yorker, that kind of adds a certain je ne sais quoi to me hosting the Daily Show, because people, like, even though I was out in L.A., people, like, right away was like, oh, you're from New York, because you hear my voice. You hear the way I pronounce it. I'm in the store asking for coffee. They're like, I'm like, let me get a coffee and a sandwich. You got that accent. But also, it kind of felt like a love letter to New York, because after not being in New York for so long and just, you know, like, I'm not trying to shit on L.A. L.A. is a beautiful city. It's completely different than New York, and it has its own great qualities. Mm-hmm. And it's like, comparing the two is like comparing like ketchup and mustard. They're like total opposites. But being away from New York, being away from my friends in New York, being away from just like little, like, you start missing little things that you took for granted. Like, even being in the car the other day, I passed Lincoln Center and it was nighttime and it was like lit up and it was so beautiful. And I was like, how many times have I like walked past Lincoln Center, never even looked at it, just completely, like, you'll be in Grand Central. Mm-hmm. Grand Central is basically like almost on the level of the Sistine Chapel to other people. When we walk through it as New Yorkers, we don't look around. We don't take it for granted. We're like, let me get the fuck out this building as soon as possible, because I have something to do. And that's one thing in New York. Like, we're always rushing. We're always rushing at the point that we don't even have time to enjoy this incredible, beautiful city. You know, like, it's corny, but like, once you leave New York, you hear Empire State of Mind and you start crying.
You're like, I see why Lil Mama jumped on that stage.
This bro, you be in a bar in LA with other New Yorkers at Empire State of Mind. Come on. You would think 9/11 just happened. It's incredible. You really have one hand in the air for the big city. You're like, we're going to rebuild these towers.
I never cared about that Frank Sinatra song. I'm from Texas. I'm from Houston, Texas, bro. I ain't never cared about that Frank Sinatra song. I lived here for 6 years now. I walk down the street, what's new, yo? I'm like jugging to Frank Sinatra, and I'm not feeling it. This place is magical.
I'm just drunk on the train. Just if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Oh, is that a Subway masturbator? How have I missed you so?
You just run off the train and hug him like, oh, keep the city great.
Last question, man. Last question.
Let's go.
You ask your guests, fuck, marry, kill. Toni Morrison, Zora Neale Hurston, or James Baldwin. I think it's only fair for you to play fuck, marry, kill, New York edition. I'm going to give you some New York options. You tell me fuck, marry, kill. Okay. Fat Joe, Cardi B, DJ Envy.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Put him in a hard position immediately.
Hey, yo.
All right.
Fuck, marry, kill. All right. I would marry Cardi B and, oh, God. You know what? I'm just going to be excellent. Be excellent. That's all.
All right. Acceptable answer. Be exalted.
I love that. I actually tried to solve that problem.
I know. You're like, you got like, there. Nah. You're like, wait, I'm not crossing.
I was like, there's no way I can answer this. No. Like, even if I answered it the right way, like, either, like, I could say, like, fuck DJ Envy, but then it's like kill Fat Joe, then I could never go back to the Bronx.
Well, as soon as you would have said fuck Fat Joe, we would have clipped it and used that. As the,
And then I get a call for Fat Joe, like, yo, what the fuck? Yo,
fuck
yo,
me.
What the fuck?
Fuck me.
Yo, it was Terror Squad. What the fuck? All the,
yeah. Chopped cheese, bagel, New York slice. I probably should have started with that one.
Ooh, chopped cheese, bagel, or New York slice. You know what? I'm going to have to go with a New York slice because something about eating a New York slice in New York, because there's Prince Street Pizza in LA. It's exactly like Prince Street Pizza here, but it's not. There's something off about the environment. Like you have to have that dirty New York. You don't need to like squeeze the grease.
Building juice drop and land exactly on your pizza.
You know,
well, that's like the extra. That's like pineapple.
You want to walk over the subway grate and just get a face full of that hot subway air. You know, really make you feel at home.
I hate that. Like that is why I love New. I'm like, damn. I hate like those are the things that make New
those
York
are the things
like beautiful.
That's like this weekend, it was like we had that freakish Saturday, and it was like 80 degrees. Everyone was outside. And the whole time, the beauty of New York, I was like, you know what? I can't tell who has on a Halloween costume or who's just wearing their regular ass clothing.
Oh, I love that game. Brooklyn or Halloween is my favorite. I'm like, I love your costume. They're like, this is me.
This is me. I dress like a mermaid every day.
I am Hellraiser. This is
like, okay.
Who.
All right, okay. Good day. Good day. Enjoy your day.
Bro, this has been like fucking top tier conversation, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously.
No, thank you, man. Like, and this was so much fun. You're good at this. You're good. You're very natural. The questions are good. They weren't corny questions. You know, say every now and then I'll go on a podcast and I like as someone who does a podcast, I can see when people are struggling. You know, it's like again, like watching a sport, you're like, yo, oh, they're nervous. Ooh,
let me not lie and act like I wasn't nervous, but more importantly, shout out to the podcast team, everybody who, like you said, putting everything together, man.
Shout out to the podcast team.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bro, so much fun.
This has been The Daily Show Ears Edition. I've been your host, Ashton Womack, joined by the illustrious Desus Nice. Y'all catch us every week.
BX all day. Shout out to Daily Show. I love y'all.
Hey, we out. Peace.
Peace.
Explore more shows from The Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.